It's great to be able to preach without malaria. Last couple of times I preached with malaria, but praise the Lord. The Lord healed me, so now I'm standing here and I'm a bit more relaxed, less feverish and so forth. But it's great. I've got the privilege tonight to share with you guys something that God is doing in the midst of us, and it's really, really exciting. But it's always so great to partner with God. Is when I bring a message, it's not like I'm trying to convince. You know, I'm standing here, and you know, now there's something that I need to teach you guys. It's not at all that the case. It's really amazing because it's something that God has just been doing, stirring in the church in the last couple of weeks, probably about the last 3 weeks. In that people have just been, this is such a community feel happening. People are getting together and, well, we just felt, Liana and I, just to invite people to our house the last 2 or 3 weeks. And it's really a difficult thing. For those of you that have preached before know that before you preach, it's sort of the best preparation time that you have, you know, those last couple of hours before you have to share the sermon. So, you know, it's been a bit of a challenge, but we really just felt to invite people into our home before the service on a Sunday, and it's really been so blessed. But at the same time, while we've had it on our hearts to do this, I've just noticed in the church all over, it's just happening. You know, people are just you know, doing breakfast together and spending time together. And, I'm so over breakfasts. I can't eat eggs and bacon because I think I've been to 5 breakfasts this week. You know, so I think I'm going to go for the more muesli yoga type of options from now on. But if you are not part of that, then I want to say to you, just relax for a moment. Okay? God is an inclusive God. God is the God, He's the Father. Okay, so God is never exclusive. So if you maybe feel like you're a bit on the outskirts and you're maybe not in, you know, what I've just mentioned, or it maybe feels a bit distant, or maybe you're just new with us tonight, then I want to just say to you, hang on for a moment. Okay? Maybe there's just a couple of practicalities that we need to work out, and we can work on that, but God wants everyone to be part of His community. All right? If we look at them, and this is where we're going to end off tonight, it's very exciting where God is taking us. And I've asked Marichen to prepare, and she's going to just share off something that's going to happen a bit later in the week. Some of you might know what I'm talking already about. But we're going to get there. But before we get there, I just feel that God wants to stir something in our hearts tonight. Something that He wants to just bring up and to bring us to a place of community. All right. Now, some of us, relationships comes very naturally. Being in community, you know, it's the most natural thing. It just happens. My little baby daughter, Malaya, she's a very people's person. She's just 6 months old. But those of you that seen her, she's a people's person. You know, she just loves people. Like even today, we had a couple of people around, and Slim and the guys will tell you that, you know, it was a nappy time, sleepy time. And, you know, we tried everything possible. And when we put her down, she was kicking and screaming, but she wanted to join the party. You know, she's just one of those people. You know, she just wants to be with the people. When she's there, you know, she just looks at everyone. You know, looks, and then she starts talking in her way. Also, this weekend, Daddy took her to her first rugby game. Not at a stadium. It was just on TV. And I didn't take her to the Bulls game. You know, fortunately. You know, we watched the Chiefs Crusaders game, so she's a Chiefs supporter now. But now you can ask Loki. She was like, you know, you can't keep her away from the screen. You know, she literally faces me, And then she looks at me, and then she knows the screen is at the back, and then she literally bends over backwards. That phrase has taken on a whole new meaning. She really, like, you know, but she loves looking at people. So, you know, she's a people person, and there's a lot of us are people persons. You know, we just get along with people naturally. It just happens. We never have to work on it. But now, for others of us, it's maybe a bit more challenging. You know, we're not so naturally sociable. Okay? I was a bit more towards that side, actually, when I came to Christ. And it's amazing just the work that God has done in my life, because I'm actually, God made me to be an extrovert. But when I got saved, I wasn't. I was a very introverted, I found it very difficult to engage, with, you know, bigger groups of people. In fact, you would not imagine seeing me in front of a couple of people like this. You know, that's just not that, you know, there was obviously a lot of fear involved with that as well. But so for some of us, it takes a bit more work. All right. But now the important thing is God wants us to embrace that work. I was so blessed with Wilbur, your message on the offering, because it's so, you know, Wilbur actually spoke about community there. He spoke about the things that we value, the places where we put our treasure. And I want to encourage you tonight to value community. So when you plan your life, when you focus things, to put community up there on the top of the list. Because guess what? God values community. It's at the top of his list. In fact, God, the three persons of the Trinity forms a community. God, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit forms a community. All right? So God is a relational being right at the start. The Godhead is a community. And God has made us into his image, and we're gonna look at Genesis just now, but God has made us into his image, so he wants us as the community to represent him on this earth. And the only way that we can do it is if we do it in community. So what I'm saying here is individuals cannot represent God by themselves. God is represented in community. Scripture says he's made man and women in his image. So, in other words, if you look at a group of people and it's just a bunch of guys, that group can never truly, fully represent God. All right? The same with women. A group of women cannot fully, but when we bring those groups together, that dynamic represents who God is. All right? It's gonna get clearer as we go on from here, but I want to start off in Genesis chapter 2, verse 25. Firstly, a bit earlier in Genesis chapter 2, God comes, he looks at Adam, and he says to Adam, it is not good for man to be alone. Okay, for some of us, you may be here tonight, and you believe that, you know, you're a loner person. You know, you do things on your own. Okay, I want to say to you, and don't be offended with me, but God has not made you that way. All right? God has made no man a loner. God has made every person to be part of a community. And maybe you've had bad experiences. Maybe things haven't worked out well. Maybe it hasn't worked out in church. Then I believe God wants to do a work here tonight and reconcile us to the Father, to him. So he says about Adam, he says, it is not good for Adam to be alone. All right, then he forms Eve. But that thing is still the same today. And there's a relational breakdown that has happened. When Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden with God, they had perfect community with God. It says that in the cool of the day, God would walk around with Adam and Eve. They were together. They had relationship, like we're seeing each other, like we're talking. They communed with God. It was a perfect community. So when God said, if you eat of that tree, you will surely die, God knew that what was going to happen there is a major breakdown in relationship, in community, that community that was perfect, the people could interact with God like they could. God knew that that was going to break down. But what I want to show you here is we know the story. We know they went and they ate of the tree, and that relational breakdown happened instantly. Look at this, verse 25 of Genesis chapter 2. It says, "Now the man and his wife were both naked, but they felt no shame." Okay, so this is before the fall. They felt no shame. They were naked and communing with God. Verse 7 of chapter 3 says, "At that moment their eyes were opened." This is after they ate of the tree. And they suddenly felt shame at their nakedness. Adam and Eve were standing, and suddenly something happened. They were embarrassed. All right? "So they sewed fig leaves together to cover themselves. When the cool evening breeze were blowing, the man and his wife heard the Lord walking about in the garden, so they hid from the Lord God among the trees." Okay. So right there in the middle, we're getting a bit philosophical here, but I want us to be very, I want to try as much as I possibly can to bring it to practicalities in relationship and community that God has for us. So we see that there's a breakdown between firstly Adam and Eve. They were embarrassed at each other and that affected their relationship. The second thing is they were not just embarrassed. They were embarrassed towards God. They hid from God. All right? Do you see that? So they hid from the Lord God among the trees. So this breakdown that we have as people, as we get into this world, there's an inability to connect to each other. There's an inability to have community. And maybe we learn skills and we learn to relate to people in this world. But what I want to say is the ideal of community, and we're gonna look at some scriptures and see the awesomely blessed place that God has for community. And maybe we have a form of that, but we never get to that place of complete trust in people and fullness in God, where we're full of joy, we're full of life, and we relate to one another in a good sense. All right, so that's unfortunately the bad news. But we're going to get to the good news. The good news, of course, is that the first Adam, through the first Adam, sin came. Sin is very simple. I define sin as a relational breakdown, a relational sickness. Sin is what separates us from God and ultimately from one another. So sin is a relational breakdown. So the first Adam, sin entered into this world, but the second Adam, who was the second Adam? Jesus Christ came to reconcile. So Jesus came into this world to come to a broken world. And who of you would disagree that this world is broken? I think, you don't need to even to pick up a newspaper to know that this world is broken. There's brokenness in communities. There's wars, there's fights. There's racism. There's just the inability for mankind. There's always, whatever, if you have a group of people, there'll always be some sort of conflict. If you get a nation and the nation is not in conflict with another nation, what will happen? They'll fight within one another. There'll be civil war. So we find this on a large scale, that there's a relational breakdown, but then it comes down to the individual. There's a breakdown. But Jesus, the good news is, he came to reconcile us. Firstly to God the Father, and then towards one another. All right. And now what I'm saying is very basic stuff. We're talking the gospel here. But I want us to see something of God's intent, something of his heart, and then we're going to move on to what I believe is a picture of the perfect community. We're going to get to that just now. So firstly, it says that Adam, God says it's not good for him to be alone. So there's a desire in all of us for what we call intimacy. Okay? We want to be intimate with people, but we also want to be intimate with God. We want to find a marriage partner and be intimate, but we also have a capacity to be. Someone's getting excited about the relationship side. Just hold on. We're going to have a relationship week in a couple of weeks' time. Just hold on with that. We're not talking about that tonight. Then there's a relational need towards God. Now, a guy called Hans Walter Wolf, interesting name, he describes the origin of dysfunctionality, what we see with Adam and Eve, as this. He says, shame in the form of embarrassment and inhibition only penetrates the duality of man and woman as the result of their mistrust towards God. So he says, the breakdown that we see, firstly, Adam and Eve being embarrassed, that's a breakdown. There's a breakdown in community that has happened there. But the cause of the breakdown, if you think of it, was what? The mistrust towards God. That God said to them, do not eat of this tree. What happened? The enemy came and said, but listen, if you eat of that tree, you're going to be like God. So what was that initial lie? See the lie of the enemy is always focused towards breaking down community, breaking down the people of God, getting us to a place where we mistrust God and mistrust His Word. Okay? Some of you must come to Bible school to listen when Duncan talks about the Word. Mistrust the Word, because we need to know the Word of God. Otherwise, how can we trust God? All right? So the enemy throws lies, gets us isolated. Some of you are sitting here tonight and you are isolated. Okay, when the enemy has got you isolated, he's got you exactly where he wants you. All right? But God wants us to, there's a safety in community. And I'm going to talk specifically tonight about a healthy community. We're going to talk about what is healthy community and what it's not. So anyway, guys, next slide, please. Now, there's this dysfunctionality that we just spoke about. Another guy, Gareth Weldon, I don't know how to pronounce that surname. You make your own interpretation. But Gareth says this. He says, the tendency of human beings to hide out of their shame for our nakedness is the destructive force against human community. Do you see that? The embarrassment is the destructive, the shame, the nakedness is what breaks down community. We hide both our sexuality and spirituality in the presence of another being, whether God or human. While the desire for relationship is strong, the fear of intimacy is also strong. Another guy, John Bradshaw, says this. He calls it a toxic shame. So this thing goes on. Toxic shame, he says, is an excruciatingly internal experience of unexpected exposure. It is a deep cut felt primarily from the inside. It divides us from ourselves and from others. In toxic shame, we disown ourselves, and this disowning demands a cover-up. It loves darkness and secretiveness. So what we see what this guy says is he's taking it a step further. For those of you that have read Genesis, you don't have to read far in Genesis. In fact, you don't need to read past the sixth chapter to know the destructiveness of man. To know that what happened with Adam soon resulted and happened in the life of Cain. What happened with Cain is he killed his brother. Okay? Now you can read on a bit further. I forgot the guy's name, but it was his fifth son, he committed murder as well. So we see whatever relational breakdown that you and I have perpetuates in the generations after us. So if there's a relational breakdown, it just gets worse. Up to the place in Genesis chapter 6 where God says that the wickedness increased in such a way that He was sorry that He created man. And then we know the story about Noah and the flood and all of that. But now, That place, that shame that you and I have, that shame that is born out of broken relationship, brings us into a place where, as he says, disown ourselves and we cover ourselves up with darkness. Okay, so what I'm getting at is in this world, we've got people all over that are hiding themselves from the shame that they have. So every one of us are caught up somewhere in this cycle of shame and alienation towards God. So some of us are maybe a bit closer towards people, some of us are a bit further. But somewhere we're caught up in this cycle. And as I said earlier, the only way that this cycle of breakdown can be stopped is by the blood of Jesus Christ. By Jesus coming to redeem, to reconcile. Jesus says, the thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy. In other words, the thief breaks down. He steals, he takes away from us. But Jesus comes to bring life and life in abundance. So some of us, you know, we've experienced a lot of brokenness and stealing and killing, but Jesus wants to bring life in abundance. He wants to restore, reconcile, reconnect us to the Father. And we're going to see just now that that's the first step. You cannot be reconciled to people, into community, unless you have been reconciled with God. All right? And some of us, you know, we connected to God, maybe, but there's certain things in our relationship with God that is not right. And that will influence the way that we relate to people. So sometimes when you look at your relationships with people and you say, you're realizing, listen, this is a mess. You know, I've got this friend and then it doesn't happen, or I don't have friends, or this and that. You see all these bad persons, patterns, bad patterns. Then it comes down to your relationship with God. Firstly, okay, we're going to talk about that just now. Final quote before we're going to talk about the practical stuff. So I really want us, as I said, I wanted to want this to be very practical in the context of the church. How do we do community in the church? Renata said it so nicely earlier. We are a small group church. That means that we value community. Okay, it's not enough for us to be like this on a Sunday. That's not enough. You know, there's a massive part. We cannot go out without the meeting together, worshiping God. That's why we exist, is to worship God. The coming together on a Sunday to worship, to fellowship together. All right? God's heart is in the big group. Okay? A lot of churches, obviously, we know, have it wrong. They say it's just about a house church and we must meet in little groups. But they miss the bigger picture. If you look at Acts, they met in houses, but they also met in big meetings, in the synagogue. So God has both for us. But we as a church, we operate in small groups. Okay, so let me just sketch the picture of what I want us to move towards right at the end of the message tonight. Is the place that I see in Scripture where community was at the best place was in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 2, Pentecost. All right? I said earlier, God doesn't want to exclude anyone. He wants everyone to be part of that Pentecost experience when the Holy Spirit comes. God's Spirit is poured out, the massive miracles. Everyone he wants to be part. But you know what? Jesus, when he was crucified, died, and he raised from the dead, he appeared to disciples. How many people did he appear to? Over 500. All right? How many people were at the upper room? 120. So what happened to the other people? Think about this. This is huge. 500 people saw the resurrected Jesus. Jesus gives them a simple instruction, go and wait in Jerusalem. And only 120 pitches up. Okay? So, of course we know God, Jesus wanted 500 people to be at the upper room, but only 120 made it. Okay, so we're gonna talk about it because I believe they're not part of the 120. They missed it. They missed it in some sort of way. They didn't understand the community that God wanted for them. They didn't understand how they were supposed to reflect the very nature of who God is. The fact that He's a community and they must represent Him. So now we do church, we do it in small groups. Small groups is where God works. We're going to see just now the Holy Spirit. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Fellowship. He comes, and when He dwells in community, there's fruit that comes from us getting together and having true fellowship. But Gareth says this as well. He says small groups are trapped in this Gary. Are we going to call him Gary? That's brilliant. Okay, so Gary says, small groups are trapped in the paradox of hunger for intimacy. In other words, the part that it says, it's not good for man to be alone. And the fear of intimacy. They sowed fig leaves to cover themselves. In other words, we find ourselves in a place where we long to be connected. We long to belong. We long to be a part of something. You know, we long to be in that place in the upper room. But then at the same time, there's this fear that plays in our hearts. There's this fear of can I really let go and be intimate? Firstly, of course, it manifests in our fear of intimacy towards God. But can I let go of my individualism to embrace something bigger than myself? Because God is something bigger than Himself. If you look at, let's look at Peter. Peter was an individual that had an encounter with Christ. But you know what? Peter only found meaning when he was part of a bigger group. God used him. He stood up with the 120, preached the powerful sermon. 3,000 people came to Christ as God built that community. But Peter had to let go of the fact that, you know, he had something special with Jesus. And he did have something special with Jesus. But it only made sense in the context of he's just one of the 120. He's just one of the community. So God wants to do something in some of our hearts because we've embraced the spirit of the world where it says it's about you. It's about your life. It's about your ambitions. It's about your career. It's about this and that. But where we let go of that, because I want to say to you, I want to make it so clear tonight, because there's something so much greater than that, than your little world. And maybe you've got big ambitions for yourself, but I want to still say to you that it's going to be even more blessed if you find that place in community. All right, but there's the fear. There's a fear that we need to overcome. And God said it. The people prayed. I just stood at the intercession before the service, and people just said, you know, God just brought it up, the fact that He wants to break fear of our lives. God's going to do that tonight. Some of us are afraid of people. We so want that intimacy, but we're afraid of it. We can't because we know that when we come draw close to people, things are going to get exposed. And we're going to have to deal with things. But you know what? If you don't deal with those things, it's going to define you for the rest of your life. Now, you can run away from it. You can turn your face against it, make as if it never happened. But guess what? The more you run away, the more it's going to define you. You're going to have to face those things. You're going to have to open yourself up to community. So let's look at a couple of key points. I want to talk about small groups and small groups. I want you to when you sit here, see yourself. Don't think of in yourself as an individual. Think of yourself as your small group. As you're sitting here, what the small group that you belong to. If you don't, I want to encourage you to join a small group in this church, because church is really going to just make sense to you once you participate in a community. It was so blessed last night. Matthew, I don't see him yet. Tonight, but he had his CD launch in this venue, and it was really blessed. We had some wonderful worship time together with him last night. I was so blessed to see someone in the church really walking in their purpose and their destiny, and God's going to do amazing stuff with Matthew. He's going to take him all over the world with the music that he's producing. So he launched his CD, last night, but it was so powerful to me. One of the songs that he wrote, he said, I think the song's name is Abiding. And he said that they had a small group. His small group met together one night and they spoke about abiding with God, spending intimate times with God. And he said afterwards he went home and everyone shared something at that small group, but they shared something different. And afterwards he went home and all these things that the people said was stirred in his heart. And he was so hungry to be intimate with God and to abide with God that he wrote this beautiful song. And this is a song that he sang last night. It was so powerful, so anointed. But that thing happened in community. Happened in the midst of people. The Holy Spirit came and did something in his heart and in him. And the song is just the outflowing of something that happened in his heart, because the real thing is he met with God. And he had a desire to connect with him. So think of your small group. Think of how you guys come together. And the first thing, the very important thing, is that when we talk about small groups, we have to accurately represent God. So relationship must always be tensioned with mission. I'm going to explain it just now. Mission, I don't mean you must go to the ends of the world and, you know, go to nations. That's a part of it. But mission simply means anything that you do beyond your own personal needs or family needs or something. In other words, the overflow, where you take care of something outside of yourself. You love the people beyond yourself. That's mission. All right? And it results in doing, caring for people, doing things in this world to change this world. All right? So that's what I mean by mission. Relationship and mission must always work in tension. Now, why I'm saying this is, if you think of God, God is a relational God. Okay? As I said, he's got a relationship in his community, but God is not just relational, he's missional as well. What did he do with the world when he saw that the world was full of wickedness? He sent his only son. All right? So there, the very first mission that ever happened, God the Father sent his son to dwell with us, to be with us. All right? So some of us, when we get together, we got the relational thing maybe very right. But then we stop there. We think, okay, but it's just about caring for one another and loving one another. And that's very important. But then it must continue, and that relationship must develop into a place where we do things beyond our little group, where we take care of the bigger society or the bigger church or the bigger whatever. It must result in missions. Others of us, we may be good at doing things, missions, but sometimes we so get into the missions, into the tasks, into changing the world that we neglect our relationships. And what happens is soon the relationships break down and soon we don't have a healthy community. But now, to accurately represent God, we must find the tension where we constantly have to grow in relationship but also grow in missions. All right? Where we constantly challenge, we're constantly moving forward, and that's the place where we constantly grow as well in our relationships with God. So you guys are with me on that point. So we must invest in both. We must invest in relationships while doing mission. Mission can take many forms. So I really want us not to think in the box. Psalm 125 tells of God's desire. And this is where it really gets exciting. It says, as the mountains surround Jerusalem, so the Lord surrounds individuals that love him. No, surrounds his people from this time forth and forevermore. As the mountains surround Jerusalem, God comes and he dwells with people. You can look at this. This is a theme throughout scripture. I could do a whole sermon on this. The fact that God comes and he's looking for community that is wanting him and desiring to have him, that he would come and dwell with them. I had lots of other scriptures I wanted to share, but for the sake of time, I'm not going to share them. But God wants to dwell. He wants to be with his people. He's a God of community. In fact, Jesus says, when his disciples come to him and he says, Lord, teach us how to pray. How does he start off? He says, pray, our Father. All right? Our Father. He immediately starts off in the context of a community. He's not saying my Father, he's saying our Father. Deuteronomy 4 verse 7. For what great nation is there that has a God so near to it as the Lord our God is to us whenever we call upon him? So it's a case of just calling and then God will respond. Let me moving towards the exciting stuff of what God wants to do over next weekend. So we're talking here about the community of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit that comes and he dwells in community. And what happens is there's fruit. There's fruit that flows out from healthy relationships. Healthy relationships in God. Another scripture I want to encourage you with is 1 Corinthians, 1 Kings 18 verse 21. And Elijah came near to all the people and said, how long will you go limping between two different options? Okay? There's two options. If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people did not answer him a word. So we know this powerful demonstration of Elijah. He's coming to the family of God. The people, the nation of Israel was the family of God in the Old Testament times. He comes to them and he says, they've neglected. There was a relationship breakdown between the people and God because they served idols. So Elijah comes to them with a powerful display of, you know, a show off between the Baal prophets and himself. And there's the 400 Baal prophets and Elijah, and he builds this altar. He says, listen, what you must do as the Baal worshippers, you know, put an altar there and make the fire, make it burn, make the altar burn. And then we see this whole scene of how the Baal prophets tried to get this, and they worship God, and then they try this, and they try that, and eventually it fails, they can't. Then Elijah comes down, he says, he brags a bit. He says, bring me bowls of water, and he even throws water on the altar, and then fire comes down from heaven. Right? But he's saying to the people, listen, we're a community, but this community can only work if the relationship is right. Godward, upward. All right. So make your decision. Are you gonna be in this community and worshiping God? So many of us are in a place where we want to serve God, but we're scared of communities. Once again, that fear of intimacy that creeps in, that just separates us from the people of God, but we want to be Christians. We want to come to church. And it's this constant fight, this constant battle. But I believe God wants us to make a decision. Choose today if you want to be part of God's people. All right, it's an invitation that God has for us. The next point, so this tension between relationship and mission. The next point I want to make is, and I've actually mentioned this previously, in another message that I had, is God is calling us to be a community of solitudes. So the first point is something that we sometimes need to work on. The second point, this community of solitudes is where in community, we sometimes make the mistake of putting expectations, listen clearly now, putting expectations that we have on God and putting it on people. Okay? So we've got desires and needs. And it's legitimate needs and legitimate desires. But only God can meet those. And what we do is we misplace them. We think, okay, well, I need love. I need to be fulfilled. And I can get fulfillment in the community. All right? Now that's not healthy community. If you have a friendship and you have expectations for that only God can meet on that person, guess what? That relationship is not going to work. It's going to get unhealthy if it's not going to break down quickly. All right? And maybe it lasts a while, but then it will break down. Because God has made us in a specific way. Dietrich Bonhoeffer says the following. Let the person who cannot be alone be aware of community. Let the person who is not in community be aware of being alone. We are to be alone together. A community of solitudes. All right? Think about that for a moment. We are to be alone together. A community of solitudes. So what we do is you and I, we get hurt. And then what we do is we run away from community. And what we also do is we get empty. Only God can fulfill us. But then we run away from God and we try to get fulfillment in people. Do you see the dilemma there? Do you see that there's a bit of a challenge here in that true community can only happen if we have the vertical relationship right and the horizontal relationship right. Okay? We must be a community of solitudes. In other words, you must have a relationship with God that you cannot neglect. You must be able to connect to God, commune with God, and find the fulfillment that He has for you, the intimacy that only He can give you. And if you come out of that place and now you go into the group, guess what? It's going to be blessed. Guess what? You're going to have proper friendships. Guess what? You're going to be in a place where God can do awesome stuff in your life, where He can use you. But now if we get the balance wrong, guess what? God is not going to use you because it's going to destroy you. So we need to get the positioning right, and it's not a difficult thing to do, but too many of us are in a place where we have unhealthy friendships or we have no friendships. All right? But God wants us to be in fellowship, in true community. All right. Is that all of us want? Is that what you guys want? Proper community, fellowship in the Holy Spirit. Now, let's move on to the final point. And in this brokenness that you and I have, and it's obviously Scripture says that we are being saved. We're only going to be perfect when Jesus comes. All right. So none of us here can say, you know, I get this perfectly right. You know, I'm the perfect man. You know, we can, you know, I'm in community and I relate with God, and you know, none of us can say that. So some of us are maybe struggling with this a bit more, but we all need to find this balance. That's what we call devotion. It's being devoted to God, but devoted to people. All right. We must devote our hearts to this place. Let's get back to the Pentecost community. Acts chapter 4 verse 32. Now the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul. And no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. How's that for community? Now the problem, and Leon's getting very excited there. The problem is, okay, what a lot of believers or maybe churches and sects have done is they started out by that point and they said, listen, we must have community, so let's sell everything and share it amongst each other. All right? If someone comes up to you and they say they're Christian and they want to do that, be very careful. Okay? That's an unhealthy community. But now, when God does it, when God takes a group of people and He draws them so close in that they, so close that they sell everything, then it's community. Then it's blessed. Okay? But now if you take it from the other side, we call it legalism. Okay? We're taking principles and we're trying to force it where it's not supposed to be. All right, but now look at the community there. Isn't that amazing? We've got this group of 120 and think of a bit for a moment. we don't know much about the 120, except that we know that the 12 or the 11 disciples were part of that group. We knew that they had relationship. Okay. We knew that they were disciples or followers of Jesus. So we know that there was some form of relationship. But now look at the relationship afterwards. They shared everything. So something happened in that upper room. Do you guys agree with me? Something amazing happened where there was this group of broken people. Go and look at the disciples. They were extremely broken people that came together, had fellowship with Jesus. For 3 years, they first had to connect with Jesus. And then something happened in the upper room, so much so that they had everything in common. That's community. Next thing, Acts chapter 17, verse 6. It says, these men who have turned the world upside down have come here also. All right? So this is how the people identified them. Is the people that turned the world upside down. Okay, coming back to my first point. Missions. They did something. They changed their society and the world around them. In fact, the world that we see today wouldn't be the same place if it was not for these people. In fact, the whole of Asia was reached within a couple of years after these men went. They turned the world upside down. So we see here the disciples had good relationship. And once again, before Pentecost, we don't know too much, but we know that twice Jesus sent out disciples. First he sent out the 12, then he sent out the 72. So we don't know who of the 72 was part of the 120, but we know that there was a form of mission that was happening there. But now look at what happened afterwards. Immediately when the Holy Spirit was poured out, signs and wonders followed. Things happened as the people, the scripture says that great grace was upon them also. So what I said earlier is God is looking for a place to dwell on this earth. He's looking for a place to come and manifest himself to the world so that the world would recognize. And I believe us as a church are in that place. There's really amazing stuff happening. And I'm going to ask Marichan to share about Friday just now. Amazing stuff happening. The intercession, people are really connecting with God in the church. And I really believe that God wants to bring us to a place where we'll be at this position, where God comes to dwell with us. That what we do that is humanly possible, we bring to God, and then he does something amazing. Because in this church, we've got good relationship. In this church, we do missions. All right? But now, God wants to come and dwell in our midst. And he wants us to encounter him in a great way. Look at this. And this is very exciting before we're going to just pray tonight. Acts chapter 4, verse 31. And when they had prayed, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with a boldness. Can the band please come up? So what we see is something happened when these people came together. When the Holy Spirit was there, there was a fruit that produced major things. Massive things happened. People got healed. Fruit flowed out from it. And God, I believe he wants to come into our little groups, into our little communities. And he wants to just do that in our hearts. Won't you just please stand with me tonight? And I want us just to start off tonight by firstly just recognizing and acknowledging our brokenness. There's nothing wrong to be broken, to have relational breakdowns. Except that God wants to come and mend that. Mend our hearts. Give us life and life to the fullness. So I want us all to just where you're standing, just close your eyes. And immediately the first thing that's going to register for some of us is that fear of intimacy. That fear of coming closer towards a God, or maybe your fears towards the people around you. But I want to encourage you. God is, His love towards you is so amazing. His desire for intimacy is so great. In fact, the word says that He draws near to us. When we put our hearts in a vulnerable position where we say, Lord, my heart is vulnerable, I'm afraid, but I'm drawing near to You. Guess what God says? He says, I draw near to You. And I want us to just bring our hearts before God and allow Him just to come and stir us. Maybe you're here tonight and your heart is far from God. But you recognize that breakdown. You know you need Him. Maybe you were particularly moved when you realized tonight that the patterns that you see in the relationships and the people alongside you are reflective of your relationship with God. I want you to be honest and say, Lord, maybe my breakdown starts with You. I want You to come and mend me. Make me new. Restore me to the Father. Before we're going to pray for the community that God wants to stir in us, you cannot connect to that community because the first relationship needs to be restored. I want to pray for you tonight if that's you. Maybe you don't hear God's voice. Maybe you're struggling. Maybe you're caught up in religion. You're striving. You're struggling to just be with God. And I want you to be very bold. Where you're standing, just lift up your hand. Say, Lord, I need You. I want to be reconciled to You. And there's many hands going up. Many hands going up. Thank You, Lord. Thank You, Lord, that You're stirring that hunger for intimacy in us. But Lord, this time, we know that you're not going to draw back. You're going to meet us. Is anyone else? You know that you need to come back to God tonight. There's many hands that have gone up here tonight. I want you guys to be very bold. If you've put up your hands, to quickly come out from where you are. Take your belongings. Don't leave your stuff behind. Quickly bring your belongings and come to the front. Because we want to pray with you. God is going to restore you. And if you know you need to be here, also come. You didn't put up your hand, just come as well. Just say, I want to face my fear. Maybe for some of us, it's a fear just putting up your hand or stepping out from where you are. But tonight, face that fear. Say, Lord, I'm going to allow You to do something in my heart. I'm scared, but I'm going to trust You. Because that very place where it breaks down is in our mistrust towards God. And even now, I believe someone specifically, I feel the Lord is, you're struggling because you just can't trust God. It's a difficult thing for you just to believe and to know that He will not drop you. He will not shame you. And He wants to remove that shame from your heart. So just come out. Come out from me. If we can get some counselors also to come to the front. I'm going to first of all pray a prayer of of just recommitting to God or coming to God. Maybe you're standing here in front. You're very far from God. And I want you to pray from your heart as we're just going to recommit our hearts, because that's a place where it starts, where we reconcile to the Father. So I want us all to pray together. Would you pray after me? Dear Lord Jesus, I come to you tonight and I realize I'm a broken person. And I need you, Jesus, to come and mend me. I'm a sinner, Lord, unable to relate with you, unable to relate with your people. But I ask here tonight that you would reconcile me to the Father. Heal me, Lord. Mend me, Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus. It's going to quickly be someone to pray with you. Some of you are going to just get a bit of material and a little card to fill in. If you can just please do that. But just before, counselors, just before you pray, I just want to pray a prayer. I just feel the Holy Spirit laying on my heart. Why don't you just stretch out your hands towards God as you're standing here. I believe God wants to just break something over you. Father, we thank you for the cross. We thank you for the power of the cross. We thank you for the finished work of the cross. And Father, we declare the power of the cross over every hand raised right now. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would break that shame and break every chain. Remove it, Father. And come and place, Father, your worth on your people. Thank you, Lord, that you give the worth of your Son, Jesus, and you place it on every individual standing before you, Lord. You declare the words, Lord, that they are worthy to stand in your presence. They are your beloved sons and daughters, Lord, standing before you. You cast off every shame, every guilt you remove, every sin you remove as far as the east is from the west. You restore, Lord. You reconcile to the Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Let's just spend some time in worship as the people are getting ministered to.